Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. There are seven words in particular that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross that hold the keys for finding fulfillment in your life, relationships, and even your career. Thanks for joining us here today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. In a few moments, we're going to tell you about a wonderful resource called the Journey with Jesus Deluxe Gift Book that shows you the significance of the 15 stops Jesus made on the road to Calvary. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Word of Forgiveness.
In your mind, there is this scale between guilt over things that you've done wrong and blame that other people have done wrong to you. And the way you try to balance this scale, when this gets out of balance, it's called depression. When you're overbalanced this way, it's depression. When you're overbalanced this way, it's depression. So what you try to do when you feel really guilty in a relationship is you want to blame the other person because you put rocks on their side and it kind of pulls it up. Well, you did this, yeah, but you did this. But you did this, yeah, but you did this. You did this, yeah, but you did this. And that's the way we try to deal with guilt. It doesn't work, but we often either bury it or we blame. Now, you've heard me say 1,000 times you spell blame, be lame. Every time you blame, you are being lame. You're passing the buck. You're trying to put on. Sometimes we even try to blame God. Look at this verse, Proverbs 19, verse 3. People's own foolishness ruin their lives, but in their minds, they blame who? The Lord. They blame the Lord. Well, if God had given me a different family, a different job. No. You make your own choices. So we bury it, we blame. And then the third thing we do, write this down, we beat ourselves up. And this is a common thing too. A lot of people do when they're guilty, we just beat ourselves up and we pile it on. We self-administer punishment. We subconsciously try to pay for our mistakes. I mean, just think about this. Can a guilty conscience make you sick? Oh yeah. One study I read said that over 50% of the people in the hospital could go home tomorrow if they knew how to get rid of either resentment or guilt. Resentment, what other people have done to me, or guilt, what I've done to other people. And if they could just deal with those two twin misery buddies, they could leave the hospital. Yes, guilt can make you sick. David said, I was miserable. I felt terrible. The strength evaporated out of my life. See, a lot of times people are sick and they think, well, maybe I'm not eating the right thing. Well, you may not be. Maybe you need to correct what you eat. But also, you need to check out not just what you eat, but what's eating you. Because what's eating you can make you fatigued, can make you stressed out, can make you have no energy. Can guilt cause depression? Sure, it's a form of atonement. I've done wrong, so I'll just make myself depressed. Can guilt sabotage success? Absolutely. Listen to this. Many people, you've probably done this, have sabotaged their own success because they thought, I don't really deserve this. I've met very famous people who, at the height of their fame, did something really stupid and sabotaged their success. Why? Because they never felt like they deserved the success. Why? Because they felt guilty and they didn't know how to get rid of their guilt. Psalm 38, verse 4 and 6, David says, my guilt has overwhelmed me. And it, like a load, it weighs me down because I was foolish. You know, I did something dumb. I'm bent over and I'm bowed down and I'm sad all day long. That's called depression. I'm sad all day long. He says, my guilt overwhelmed me. You know the problem with punishing yourself, and some of you have been doing this, you did something wrong a long time ago and you knew it was wrong, but you're still punishing yourself over it. You know the problem with punishing yourself? You don't know when enough's enough. you don't know when to stop the punishment. And so you just keep it on and on and on. Some of you are still beating yourself up over stuff that happened years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, as a child. And you're still beating yourself up. That's not smart. That's not wise. Now, those are the ways we typically deal with guilt. Bury it, blame, and beat ourselves up. That's not what God wants you to do. What does Jesus want you to do with guilt? He wants you to do two or three things. Write these down. Number one, the Bible's very clear and very specific about how to get off a guilt trip. Now, the steps are simple, but they're not easy. Okay? Number one, admit it. That's the first thing. I just have to admit it. I've got to get out of denial. We talk a lot about this in Celebrate Recovery. Getting out of denial is like the first step. Okay? I've got to admit it. I don't bury it. I don't deny it. I don't ignore it. I just own up to it. I blew it. I did wrong. Now, sometimes when we run from guilt, we try to run from it by keeping busy, and we keep ourselves so busy overworking. And you know what? You can even do that with ministry. A lot of people who are actively involved in ministry are doing it for the wrong reason. They're running from their guilt. That's not a good reason to serve God. It's not a reason to serve others. And they're trying to atone for it in their background. It's, I did these things wrong, now I'm gonna make up for it. And so a lot of times we try to deal with the guilt by moving quickly, literally moving. Some people will move away. I blew it in a certain area, so I'm gonna move away from that area. I'm gonna travel. But you know the problem with that? Wherever you go, you take yourself. So you could move to Tahiti and you're gonna take your guilt with you. And when you finally slow down, and a lot of workaholism is motivated by guilt. When you finally slow down and you put your head on the pillow at night and you be quiet, all that guilt rushes in and you don't like that feeling, so you get up and you start working again. That doesn't work. I just need to admit it. Look at some verses from the Bible. Proverbs 20, verse 27. The Lord gave us a mind and he gave us a conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves. Circle, we cannot hide. We cannot hide from ourselves. That's why guilt is so devastating in your life. You can hide it from others. You can hide it from others, but you cannot hide it from yourself. Look at this verse up here on the screen. 1 John 1:8 says this. If we claim to be without sin, we're just deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. We're doing that rationalizing again. We claim to be without sin, we just deceive ourselves. We don't deceive God. We don't deceive other people. They know we're sinners. We're just deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So I've got to start with just admitting it. I want you to write this down on your outline. To stop defeating myself, I must stop deceiving myself. If you don't get anything else, get this. To stop defeating myself, I must stop deceiving myself. What are you pretending is not a problem in your life? Oh, it's not a habit. It's not an addiction. It's not a problem. I can handle it. What are you pretending isn't a problem in your life? If I want to stop defeating myself, I've got to stop deceiving myself. Once a year, I sit down, at least once a year, and I do what I call a personal moral inventory. It's one of the steps we do in recovery. And I just sit down and I say, okay, God, give me a list of everything between me and you, and give me a list between me and everybody else. What's the stuff that's the sticking point? What's the sin, the failure, the mistake, the problem, the difficulty? What's the bad habit? What's the wrong attitude? And I just sit still and I'll just make a list. And sometimes that list is quite long. And this is the power of confessing to God. As I start by admitting it, you make a personal moral inventory. Say, God, what's the things in my life that are blocking fellowship with you? Why don't I feel so joyful anymore? Why don't I feel so enthusiastic anymore? Why don't I feel close to you anymore? And then what's the stuff between me and my wife or me and my kids? What's the stuff between me and the people I work with? And you admit it. You got to write it down. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine our ways and test them. So here's what I would highly recommend you do this week. This is a good time to do it. Just get alone with God. Get a blank sheet of paper, maybe a little yellow pad, and a pencil or pen, and just say, ask God to bring to mind anything in your life that needs to be confessed.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Every year at Easter, we remember Jesus' sacrifice for us and celebrate his resurrection. Some Christians are able to travel to Jerusalem to walk the path that Jesus took on his way to the cross. It's called the Via Dolorosa, which translates to the way of suffering. Since you may not be able to travel to Jerusalem, Pastor Rick created a unique resource called Journey with Jesus that will give you a way to celebrate, reflect, and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. Journey with Jesus is a deluxe hardcover gift edition book with high-quality glossy pages and includes photos of commissioned mosaic tile artwork that represent each stop Jesus made on his path to Calvary. This is a great gift book to keep and study time and time again. And it would make a great gift for your family and friends too. We'll send you our Journey with Jesus deluxe gift book when you donate to Daily Hope this month. It's because of the generosity of people like you that we're able to share the certain hope of Jesus around the world. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this amazing study tool. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
If you don't get anything else, get this. To stop defeating myself, I must stop deceiving myself. What are you pretending is not a problem in your life? Oh, it's not a habit. It's not an addiction. It's not a problem. I can handle it. What are you pretending isn't a problem in your life? If I want to stop defeating myself, I've got to stop deceiving myself. Once a year, I sit down, at least once a year, and I do what I call a personal moral inventory. It's one of the steps we do in recovery. And I just sit down and I say, okay, God, give me a list of everything between me and you, and give me a list between me and everybody else. What's the stuff that's the sticking point? What's the sin, the failure, the mistake, the problem, the difficulty? What's the bad habit? What's the wrong attitude? And I just sit still, and I'll just make a list. And sometimes that list is quite long. And this is the power of confessing to God, as I start by admitting it. You make a personal moral inventory. Say, God, what's the things in my life that are blocking fellowship with you? Why don't I feel so joyful anymore? Why don't I feel so enthusiastic anymore? Why don't I feel close to you anymore? And then what's the stuff between me and my wife or me and my kids? What's the stuff between me and the people I work with? And you admit it. You got to write it down. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine our ways and test them. So here's what I would highly recommend you do this week. This is a good time to do it. Just get alone with God, get a blank sheet of paper, maybe a little yellow pad, and a pencil or pen, and just say, ask God to bring to mind anything in your life that needs to be confessed. And then just write it down. Now, nobody's gonna see this list right now. You're just gonna write it all down. You're unconsciously guilty about. And you make a list of all the faults that come to mind. You take your time. You say, why do I need to write it down? Why can't I just think about it? Can I just think about it? No, you can't. Something about writing it down on paper makes it specific. Francis Bacon said, reading makes a broad man, writing makes a specific man. Thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through the lips and the fingertips. When you can say it and you can write it, then you've really thought about it. But if you just think about it in your mind, it's not serious. So write it, it forces you to be specific. Now, once you admit it, you're ready for the second step. And it's this, accept responsibility. That's the second step. It means I'm not gonna blame anybody else. They may be 99% at fault and I'm 1% at fault. All I'm gonna deal with is my 1% right now. I'm not dealing with your problem, your sin, your hangup. I'm dealing with me. I accept responsibility. And again, I don't rationalize it, say, well, it happened so long ago, and I don't blame others, it was mostly their fault, and, you know, I don't minimize it, I don't make excuses. You know, one day, King David had a moral failure in his life. And he looked out of his palace and he sees a beautiful, gorgeous, nude woman bathing on her roof. Is that where you ought to be bathing? On your roof? Knowing that the palace can look down on you? Well, okay. No, obviously. And when David saw her, as you know, it eventually led to adultery and murder. And she got pregnant with David's child, and David murdered, or had her husband murdered. And when David writes out his moral inventory, it's called Psalm 51, if you ever want to read it. Psalm 51 is David's moral inventory and confession of sin after his adultery with Bathsheba. In that, he doesn't blame Bathsheba for 1% even. He takes it all on himself. Fine. Did Bathsheba have to say yes to David? No, she did not. But David doesn't blame her for the affair. He just takes it on himself. And in Psalm 51, verse 3, he says this, I recognize my faults and I am conscious of my sins. Now, what is the best way to ensure that you have accepted responsibility for the dumb things you've done in your life? What's the best way to do that? Now, it's going to shock you. I told you it's simple, but it's not easy. The best way to accept responsibility is to tell one other person. Oh, no, you got to be kidding me. My deepest, darkest, dirtiest secret. Yeah. Now, you don't go tell a gossip, and you certainly don't tweet about it. Okay, that's not what you find somebody who's going to be a friend, who's going to love you unconditionally. That's what a friend does. A friend walks in when everybody else walks out. A friend is somebody who can listen to your worst sin and will still love you. And everybody needs one person in their life like that. And admit your fault to another person. In fact, God says this is an essential key to letting go of guilt. James 5, let me stop right here. Many of you have confessed your sins to God and you still feel guilty because you haven't done this step. You have confessed your sin to God over and over and over and over and over and you still feel guilty. But you've never told one other person. Here's what God says, James 5:16. Admit your faults to one another, doesn't say to God, to one another, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Circle the word healed. Now, let me explain this. If you want to be forgiven for the stuff you've done wrong, all you need to do is tell God. But if you want to be healed of the negative emotions, you need to tell one other person. Say it again. If all you do is want to be forgiven, you just need to tell God. But you'll still be haunted by your own emotions. If you want to be set free, you need to tell one other person. Write it down and tell one other person. Jesus says, or the Bible says, confess your faults one to another, pray for each other, that you may be healed. How many times have I said this? Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. You say, I don't want to do that. Then you want to carry the guilt the rest of your life. Fine. And you can take it out on your, if you don't talk it out, you're going to take it out on your body. And when you swallow your negative emotions, your stomach keeps score. People say, oh, my aching back. Oh, my aching neck. Oh, my aching stomach. Wonder where that's at. I said, well, maybe it's because what's eating you. God says, admit your faults to each other that you may be healed. Now, why do I need to drag one other person into this? I'll tell you why. And get this, it's simple to say, but it's profound in its meaning. The root of all our problems are relational. You say, no, this is just between me and God. No, it wasn't. The root of all our problems are relational. You are reacting still to relationships in your life that you didn't like. Today, you're still reacting to relationships you didn't like. And those relationships may have been a long, long time ago, but they're still pushing you in a direction that you don't want to go. And as your pastor who loves you and cares for you, I'm telling you, that the root of your problem is relational. And we're all dishonest with each other, and we play games, and we wear masks, and we pretend. Write this down. Here's another one to write down. We've talked about this before. I'm only as sick as my secrets. I'm only as sick as my secrets. Secrets make us sicker. And we hold them on. The way we get healed, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. The more you hide it, the more you hurt. The more you hide it, the more you hurt. And because we are not honest with each other, we're not only not honest with God, we're not honest with each other, we're dishonest. We play games, we wear masks, we pretend we have it all together. It isolates us from each other. It causes fear, prevents intimacy, creates insecurity. If they really knew me, they'd reject me. Everybody needs at least one person in their life they can be totally honest with. It's God's way of freeing us. That's why you need a small group. You're most likely to find that person in a small group. So I admit it. I accept responsibility. And there are only three steps to getting rid of guilt. Here's the third one. Ask for forgiveness. There are so many promises in the Bible about forgiveness if you'll take these three steps. 1 John 1:9 is the most famous one. If we freely admit that we have sinned, we find God utterly reliable.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, I want to tell you about today's special opportunity. As Jesus made his way to Calvary, on the road called Via Dolorosa, which translates to the way of suffering, there were 15 stops he made along the way, which hold tremendous significance for every Christian. Since many of us may not be able to travel to Jerusalem to visit this place, Pastor Rick has created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus. It will give you a way to celebrate, reflect, and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. This book is stunning. It has a soft vegan leather cover, and it's filled with beautiful, glossy photographs and colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us. The narrative will give you deep biblical insight into the most important event in human history. We'll send you Journey with Jesus as our way of saying thanks when you support this ministry with a financial gift. You'll want to get extra copies to give as gifts to your friends and family members. This one-of-a-kind resource is available only through Daily Hope. Quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. Just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to introduce you to Agatha, who's translating Daily Hope into German for her husband. She writes, "Pastor Rick, your preaching is bringing many souls to God. My husband, who is an unbeliever, is drawing closer and closer to God. Every day I translate what I hear on Daily Hope into German because he can't speak and understand English. Pastor Rick, your teaching has changed his life, and I can see his progress and eagerness to follow Jesus." Agatha. Well, Agatha, thank you so much for sharing your story with me. This is a wonderful story to hear that you're translating what you hear on Daily Hope for your husband and that he's growing closer to Jesus. I'm so happy for that. We're always looking for translators to help us in new languages as we take the message of God to more people around the world. So you will keep praying for your husband, and you keep praying for us that God allows us to take the good news of God's hope all around the world.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program has been sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.